AI. You may have heard that abbreviation in the past. If you've not heard AI or out about AI in the past, I imagine that you will in the future. AI is an abbreviation for artificial intelligence. You may not realize it, but you have probably used artificial intelligence on a number of occasions. If you've ever used a GPS, you're headed down the road, and you think that you know where you're going, but the GPS says, correction, alternate route, that pops up. And maybe because of traffic, maybe because of an accident, you are rerouted. That is artificial intelligence at work. If you fly, artificial intelligence might be used for part of your flight. The pilot will step away from the controls and artificial intelligence takes over. If you hear about self-driving cars, and most of us have, self-driving cars are involved with artificial intelligence. If you use email, and in your email program, you have some kind of filtering system which says this is junk and this is good. Doesn't always work perfectly, but you have some kind of filtering system. Artificial intelligence is also at work. If you're in college and you submit a paper to a professor, the professor will likely take that paper and put that into a computer system which will not read every word, but it'll take that paper and compare it against some other papers that have been done and check for plagiarism. That's artificial intelligence. And the one that I like, if you've ever taken a check, maybe this time of year somebody sends you a check, and rather than go to the bank, you decide that you're going to take out your smartphone or your tablet and you hit that banking app. And as the banking app comes up, you take a picture of the check, the front and the back, and then you hit the deposit button. That is artificial intelligence. If you were to receive, for example, a $20 check, and maybe just as a test or to have fun, or maybe you actually made a mistake, and instead of putting in $20 as far as the deposit amount, let's say that you put in two. Or let's say that you decided to put in 200. The artificial intelligence is so good now when it comes to checks that it will recognize the handwriting on the check and tell you that what you put in, the amount that you put in, does not match the amount on the check. Fantastic technology. If you use Facebook or Pinterest or some of the other social networking sites, you have exposed yourself to some form of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. It has now reached the article where a recent piece that I saw said that it can identify more than about 2 billion people in a matter of seconds. Now think about that. Identifying by facial recognition 2 billion people in a matter of seconds. Suppose someone were to say to you, we have 100,000 pictures, 100,000 people, or even 10,000, and we'd like you to identify these 10,000 or these 100,000 people in 10 seconds or less. Well, we couldn't do that. We'd have to say that's beyond my capability. How long would it take to rattle off the names, even if we could remember all the faces? But artificial intelligence now, because of police work, it can literally identify not just thousands or tens of thousands, not even millions, but 2 billion people in a matter of seconds. It said, I don't know if this is a correct projection or not, but it is said that within 50 to 100 years, artificial intelligence will be so great that it will know more than all that would be in the collective brains of everybody currently living anywhere in the earth. Can you imagine that? Locked up in some computer system somewhere will be more information than all in the minds of the people on the earth. It's being projected that artificial intelligence will one day be the way to solve a lot of man's problems. Don't have enough water, don't have enough food, concerned about the environment. Our AI will take care of that. And then it's being suggested that one day the boss that people have will be a robot. Now, I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work. Maybe you're going to come in and you have to flick on your boss and turn him off at the end of the day. Maybe it's going to be a robot that is always going to be in operation. I don't know. But the projection that was the most amazing to me. There are some people now who think that given enough time, within maybe 50 years, AI will be so advanced, so great, that it will either be the equivalent of a Messiah, or people will say to AI, you are our God. I'm not sure that I'm going to live long enough if that day comes. But I think the projections are good enough where that is a good thing to discuss. The very fact that some people would even hint or suggest or talk about one day AI, artificial intelligence, being a Messiah, or being what people look at as being God, Chuchakas, has our world really gone to the point? Has it reached the depth where it has almost no comprehension of the supremacy of God? And we can look at other countries, third world countries, the so-called banana republics, and we can find in those countries people who worship idols. And we know how it works. There are people, they go out and they build, you know, get a nice chunk of wood, and they go out and they build their god. And after they've fashioned it, they will perhaps paint it up a little bit. Maybe they'll go out and get some jewels or something else that is expensive, and they'll decorate, they'll adorn their god. And after they create their god, they'll fall down before it, and they will worship their god. When night comes, they take their precious god, and they take him over to maybe a garage, and they lock him up so nobody steals their god. And when morning comes, they take him out of the garage, they take him out of the locked place, and then they worship that god. When their god is no longer serviceable, they throw him away. And they make a new one. They get some more wood, and they dress up the new one, and everything just continues as it was. We look at that kind of activity, and we say, how foolish. How could anyone make a god and then fall down and worship it? How could anyone lock up their god for security and then go get it back in the morning and then throw it away when it is no longer serviceable? We seem to be doing the same thing when it comes to AI or artificial intelligence. In the end, whatever AI can accomplish, and I grant that it probably can accomplish a whole lot, it's already done great things. But in the end, whatever it is able to accomplish, it will still come from human hands. That's the bottom line. Now that's a lengthy introduction, a longer introduction than I normally give, but I wanted to lay a good bit of groundwork for tonight's text. And tonight's text comes entirely from the book of Psalms, and not just one psalm, but several psalms. You see, as you look at the book of Psalms, you have about six psalms which are sometimes referred to as enthronement psalms. And by enthronement, they are talking about the fact that God has been enthroned and God is supreme. Four of these psalms are 96 to 99. They're all stuck there together. But then you have two other psalms that fall into this enthronement category, and these come from Psalm 47 and 93. I'm going to start with Psalm 47. It's obviously too much for one sermon to go back and try to talk about everything that you're going to find in six or seven psalms. But I do want to highlight some information from these psalms, Psalm 47, 93, 96 through 99. And I want us to be left with the psalmist's understanding of God and his supremacy. And it's as we look at that, it's easy then to contrast artificial intelligence with the one true God. I'm going to start with Psalm 47 and then move over to Psalm 93. In Psalm 47, verses 2 and 3, we have some information as far as general information about God's authority, God's supremacy, and God's power. We're told that God is king. And we're told that not only is God is king, but the Bible says that God is king over all the earth and all nations are subject to him. From that 47th Psalm, let's start with verse 2. For Jehovah... Well, that's telling us who we're talking about. For Jehovah Most High is terrible. He is a great king, and then it says, over all the earth. He subdueth peoples under us and nations under our feet. If you were to drop down just a few verses in this psalm, verse 7 of Psalm 47, once again, we find that God is described as not just king, but he is described as being king over all the earth. Now, to us, the idea of a king may not seem that significant. Sometimes you hear about a country that has a king, and they talk about King so-and-so from this country or King so-and-so from that country, and we have a president or somebody else has a czar or something like that, and it doesn't seem all that significant to us. If you had initially received or read this information, you would have understood that word king in a much different way. In ancient times, a king had the power to say, you live and you die. There was no Supreme Court. There was no way to go against the king's rule. There was no way to say, well, we want somebody else to make a decision. We want somebody else to look at the case. We saw that indicated this morning in today's lesson with David. David, you remember, as we looked at some information from Samuel, David had the ability to say to Shimei, you die. And if David had said, you die, off with the head, that's the way it would have been. There would have been no appeal. There would have been no way to dispute that, no way to discuss that. If David had said, you die, you die. On the other hand, if David said, you live, that was the king's order. There was no way to appeal that. That was not up for discussion. That's simply the way that it was going to be. When we understand the authority, the power, the supremacy that kings had in ancient times, then we need to read that into places like Psalm 47. God says, I'm king. I'm supreme. I have authority over the people who love me, and I have power over the people who do not. I am king over those who choose to know me and obey me, and those who do not. God is king over AI, over artificial intelligence, regardless of how great it may become. Even if one day People look at it and say, you are our Messiah. You are our God. I fear that we are getting to a point in society, especially the United States, where people are overly impressed with artificial intelligence, what we can do. They're talking about the latest smartphone, the latest tablet, the latest this, the latest that, the latest watch, and so forth. But they are no longer really impressed by God and His supremacy. If that's where our culture is, or if that's where our culture is headed, we have some huge, huge problems. In the last verse of Psalm 47, we're told about the shields of the earth. And that's simply a way of describing rulers. And God said, even the shields of the earth, that is the rulers, they also belong to me. Even those rulers, as mighty and as powerful as they might seem to be, God says, they are still subject to me. Yet as we look at our time, and this seems to be, from various perspectives, a common news item right now, we find powerful people thinking that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, and to whomever they want. Pilate is an example. He felt like he had the power to do what he wanted to the Lord. And yet Jesus came along and he said, you would have no power over me, except it were given thee from above. Christians may be opposed by leaders who believe that they have true power and authority. But God says in the 47th Psalm and in the other Psalms that we're going to look at, I'm the power, I'm the king, I'm supreme. Now men may not believe that. Men may not accept that. Men may not live like they should in view of that fact. But nevertheless, that does not change the truth. If you're following along, you'll want to flip over quite a few chapters and find Psalm 93. And as I said, once you find Psalm 93, you'll be in the general area where we want to spend the rest of our time. But that's one more psalm before we kind of get to the ones 96 through 99. And as you look at this psalm, as far as the opening information, it begins by saying, Jehovah, or God, the Lord, reigns. And then as you continue to look through the chapter, you begin to find some other things in this short psalm. It is said that God is clothed, not literally, but it's said that God is clothed with majesty and strength. As you look at the second verse, we are told that God's throne, his power, his authority, his dominion, was established of old. As I was thinking about that statement this past week, I was reminded for some reason of the first VCRs. Some in here will not remember the first VCRs, maybe you don't even know what a VCR is. But when VCRs first came out, several of them had an attached cord. And if you can't imagine that, think of your VCR unit over here and you're sitting on the TV, the sofa over here, and you want to watch a VCR tape. And to watch that tape, you have a cord which goes from the VCR unit, a wired cord, to where you're sitting on the sofa. And that was a pain if you were using a VCR. People paid a lot of money to have a cordless VCR, but that was kind of how it worked. Well, somebody says, I can't even imagine that, or I do remember that, and that was so long ago, we don't even have a VCR in our house right now. Well, let's bring it up to date a little bit more. Do you remember the old flip phones? You remember when they were so common before smartphones, people had the flip phones, and they said, I have a new flip phone. Wow, this is so cool. This is so great. Now, if you showed off a flip phone, people would probably say, get with the modern age. Get a smartphone. Flip phones are so out of date. Technology does not stay new that often. Think about the people that are going to get the new iPhone 10. That's being bragged about. Something that a lot of people are hoping for. But how long is that technology going to stay new? I don't know what's going to follow the iPhone 10, maybe the 11 or something else, but it's not going to stay new that long. But God says in Psalm 93, I've been around for a long time. My throne is of old. And then he says, I don't wear out. I'm not going to be like that VCR that was replaced. I'm not going to be like that phone which was replaced. In that second verse, we're also told something else about God. God says, I am everlasting. There was nothing before God. Nothing is going to come after God. Even though God's throne has been of old and he's everlasting, nothing will ever be replaced about him or his power. In verse 3, we are told that water like floods and oceans may rage. Things may change. There may be all kinds of upheaval on the earth. But God says, I'm always present. And not only am I always present, I'm always mightier than whatever takes place on the earth. Earlier I spoke about people locking up their gods at night. And people in other countries, they literally do that so the god is not stolen. Imagine AI, artificial intelligence. Think about if there is one day a supercomputer. I once worked. When I first went into the military, the first place that I went as far as a duty station, I worked in a place that had a giant computer. It filled up more space than we have in this area. Huge computer. And it was secured. There were guards that we had to pass by to get into the building. The building had no windows. And once you got through the guards, you went into a series of doors, and each door was keyed by a code. Sometimes you're going through the hospital, you'll see a door with a keypad, and there's a code, and people have to punch in that code. Those kinds of doors were throughout this secure facility, and people carried guns. Imagine the steps that men would take to protect a facility that had artificial intelligence. I can see a facility being constructed so it might be protected against water, fire, storms, various disasters. If that is their God, men will take great steps. They'll go to great lengths to protect something like AI. But what's God saying to us? He says, you don't need to protect me. My throne is of old. Doesn't matter if there are things like great waters. I am the one who can protect you. You're not needing to worry about me. Our last psalms are Psalms 96 to 99. In Psalm 96, this is interesting, especially as you look at verse 4, because in Psalm 96, verse 4, we specifically have a reference to other gods. You see, God knows that men, as they go through their lives, as human history unfolds, he knows that people will fashion or form other gods. Men will seek out substitutes for him. Now, that's a really dumb thing to do for a lot of reasons. But for whatever reason, maybe the devil can be faulted here in some respects. But whatever the reason, men continue to offer substitutes for the one true God. And the psalmist makes this important point. Psalm 96, verses 4 and 5, about the one true God. For great is Jehovah. Doesn't say he's king now, but great is a God. And greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all of the gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But Jehovah made the heavens. The psalmist simply says this. The God of the Bible is supreme, he's sovereign, and he's made all the other gods that people worship. Even artificial intelligence, as great as that might be, even that can ultimately be traced back to God. If someone or something is put in the place of God, it is then or therefore an idol. Idols from the past, as we think about what people have done as far as taking a chunk of wood and making that into an idol, they can't talk. They can't communicate. Now, that seems to be changing a bit, but still at the end of the day, any idol that men put forth is always going to be an idol. Because God is great, we have a duty. And that responsibility is found in Psalm 96, verse 9. O worship Jehovah in holy array. Tremble before him, all ye earth. On the one hand, it is very difficult for me to imagine that people would fall down to some robot or artificial intelligence. It's just part of my mind, which can't get my mind around that. But on the other hand, as I look at human beings, human history, as I look at what God says, in some respects, it almost seems perfectly natural for people to fall down and bow before the God, so-called, of artificial intelligence. But the psalmist said, worship God, the God of the Bible. Tremble at his presence. Along with our worship, verse 10 says, tell it to the nations. Don't keep that information to yourself. That's interesting to me because as you think about technology, smartphones being one example of that, sometimes people are just itching to show off the latest device that they have. Look at my new tablet. Look at my new phone. Look at my new watch. Look at my new whatever it happens to be. The psalmist said, because of who God is, be willing to share that information about him. As you continue to move forward through the enthronement psalms, you finally get over to Psalm 97. And in the opening verse of Psalm 97, you once again had this statement made, God reigns. A simple proclamation. And then in verse 2, we're told that God, as far as that throne we talked about earlier, righteousness and justice are the foundations of God's throne. Suppose artificial intelligence one day does reach the point that we've talked about. Suppose that it does one day become almost godlike. People worship it. People think that it is the solution to all of our problems. Have you ever thought about what ethical standard AI would use to make judgments? What gauge would artificial intelligence use to make judgments when it comes to right and wrong? Could AI judge righteously every single time? The God of the Bible has no such problem. That throne which is of old, God says, from my throne flows righteousness. From my throne flows truth and justice. Whatever is fair, whatever is right. God does that, and he does that every single time. And then as you look at this psalm, Psalm 96, let's take a look at 97. 97, verse 3, moving down to the next one. A fire goeth before him, and burneth up his adversaries, round about. Artificial intelligence might one day be able to make some great judgment calls. And questions are put to it. What would be the right decision? What would be the right course of action? AI might be able to give us exactly the right answers in some circumstances. But would it have? would have internally of its own will and power the ability to eliminate enemies. No. When men need something other than God and his supremacy, or when men rely on something other than God and his supremacy, verse 7, Psalm 97 says that they're put to shame. Let all them be put to shame that serve graven images. There's the idea of false gods. They boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. There are a lot of items, people, and forces in the world that might be thought of as God. But as you look at this psalm, Psalm 97 and verse 9, the text says that God is above them all. Christians can be glad in the God that they've chosen, Psalm 97 and verse 12. In Psalm 98, as we move forward a little bit more in the enthronement psalms, we find as we look at the opening verse of this psalm, the text says Jehovah saves. When we think about robots, it might save us, or they might save us from some mistakes. But imagine asking a robot one day, or in general, artificial intelligence, save us from sin. I think that would be an interesting question to pose. The God of the Bible is the only one who can save us in the sense of saving us from sin. And it's for one of those reasons. Psalm 98, verses 5 through 8, the text says he's worthy to be praised. That last enthronement psalm, Psalm 99, it begins with another statement about God reigning as king. It is this point that the writer almost wants to drive home again and again and again. He lived in a time where people were involved with idolatry. He knew that there were people who didn't see God as supreme. And he's trying to almost put a rope around the neck of people and say, look, think about who your God is. Don't be misled. There's only one God who's supreme. You've got access to him, and don't let that go. To emphasize that, in Psalm 99 and verse 1, he says, think of the cherubim, those special creatures in the heavenly realm. The writer says God is above the cherubim. Because of who God is, Psalm 99 and verse 5 says that we as his creation should worship at his footstool. In verse 8 of Psalm 99, we're told about people from the Old Testament. They're described as being forgiven. Imagine saying to a robot one day, oh, please forgive me. I can't imagine that. Someone might. We, as we think about robots, artificial intelligence, it is the case that we expect them to serve us. We want them to help us. We want them to make our life easier. We want them to make our lives better. That's why we create them. Help me with these decisions. Help me with these tasks. Help us speed these things up. Help us save money when it comes to employees. We're creating you so you can help us and serve us. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But when a society is moving in that direction, one of the possible consequences of that is that we also begin to see God, the one true God, in the same light. That God, in some respects, becomes a robot to do our bidding. But when you start looking at the Psalms, they remind us again and again to treat God, to look at God, to worship God in the right way. In fact, as you look at Psalm 99, at the end of these verses, he says, I need to turn the page. Psalm 99 and verse 9. Exalt ye Jehovah our God and worship at his holy hill, for Jehovah our God is holy. This is, as we think about the enthronement verses, how it includes, how it ends. And it is a reminder for us to see God in the right way and to treat God in the right way. Once again, think how the enthronement psalms end. Exalt ye Jehovah our God and worship at his holy hill, for Jehovah our God is holy. I wonder if there are not some verses in the Bible that the devil really loathes. I'm sure he's not fond of the Bible in general, but I can't help but wonder if there's some verses where, as he is exposed to those verses, thinks about those verses, he really gets upset. If that's true, maybe Psalm 99 verse 9 is one of those verses. Maybe the whole enthronement psalm section is a section where the devil's really unhappy, because God says in the strongest possible way, I am king. I am supreme. I'm sovereign. There is no one else like me. And man has an obligation to recognize that. If we don't get that figured out in our lifetime, we're going to die in sin. If the other people in our world don't come to that realization, that understanding, they're also going to die in sin. I wonder, too, how much time, and this would be something that would be applied to Christians, as they go through life and the gadgets that they have on a daily basis, how much time is spent idle? fun, not really doing anything. Somebody says, well, what are you doing? Well, nothing, just messing around a little bit. And if that time were totaled up on a daily basis or a weekly basis and compared with the amount of time that a person has spent in the spiritual realm, I wonder which one wins, the gadget or God? That's a question that would make a lot of people uncomfortable. But somehow I suspect that there are a lot of homes, a lot of places, a lot of Christians where God gets the short end of the stick. As God's people, we need to understand the supremacy of God. That's a message that we also will hopefully do well as far as communicating those points to our world. Because our world is headed to a point where it may one day look at a robot or AI and say, you are our God. May that day never happen. But if it does, we need to make sure we're on the right side of God and that we've done our best to encourage others to see God for who he is. When we see God for who he is, we will be one of his people, obedient to him, faithful to him in every possible way, because we do see him as supreme. Tonight, do we see God in that sense? Do we see him as the one who is supreme? The one who deserves our love, honor, and obedience as we go through life? If the answer is no, and tonight we can help you change that by becoming a Christian or strengthening you as a Christian, will you let us know what we can do for you as we stand and sing the selection song?